Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel. This is my prediction from the US presidential election, just over a week out now. Well, a fool's errand, you might think. And yes, it will be very close. I think that's the one thing that everybody agrees on, that's the consensus. And it comes down to the seven swing states. To cut to the chase, I'm predicting that all seven will be taken by the Trump camp, because there's none of them where Kamala Harris is significantly ahead, like outside the margin of error. The margin of error is at least 2%, and the margin of error almost always favors the Republicans. The Democrats usually struggle with turnout. People who are Democrat aligned but don't actually vote. There's the timid Trump factor, timid Trumpists. I mean, they are going to vote for Donald J. Trump, but they don't want to say so to the pollsters. They can't be reached, which is why polls have underestimated them, often underestimated the Republicans. So it's a staggering result. It's a dispiriting result. What a choice Americans face. Two horrific candidates, two evil candidates. But Kamala Harris is sane and she's intelligent. She's accomplished. She's not even that dishonest. So that's why I think she's the lesser of two evils. But I find it hard to make my mind up. Sometimes I think I'd vote for a third party were I an American. So it's also staggering, sickening, and deeply depressing that Trump, who's been convicted of 24 felonies, who has been proven in a civil court to have sexually assaulted a woman, who told over 20,000 lies on the record, who is blatantly very mentally ill, that he is being elected. Wow. Wow. That more Americans will vote for him than the first time or the second time. It'll be up to something like 48% of the vote. It'll be more votes cast, partly because the population is growing. It's staggering. And it's a damning indictment of the Democrats, because everything was moving their way. For decades, we've been hearing this, the demographics moving their way, which it is. The ethnic groups which are more likely to vote Democrats, African-Americans, Hispanic people, Asian people, they've grown in both in relative and absolute terms. And so on. There are more people who've graduated from university, and there's that liberalizing effect. But the states that they live in have an always greater population, and on and on. There are more openly gay people, there are fewer religious people, perhaps there are just slightly fewer gun owners, and on and on and on. There are fewer farmers, there are not so many, say, factory workers or whatever. So Trump is clearly ill, turn up hours late for rallies. Why would you be late for a rally? A lot of the crowd go home. They're unenthused. They're a bit hacked off when he does show up in some cases. Something's going, might be a physical illness. Is he just so raving insane? His team think he's just not presentable to that time. Talking about another gentleman's genitals in a political rally. Wow. Just mind-blowing that he can suffer such a level of derangement. He is flagrantly senile. He's just lost his marbles a very long time ago. It's staggering. You know, I wouldn't put him in charge of whatever, a hot dog stand, let alone the mightiest nuclear arsenal in the world. But here's the rundown of the states. So I'm saying that Washington State will go to the Democrats. It usually does. There's 12 electoral votes. Oregon's again, the Pacific Northwest, go to the Democrats, as it has for a few decades. California, with its 54 electoral votes, it's the richest state, I mean, in various ways. It's in the biggest single economy, would be the eighth biggest economy in the world, were it an independent country. But in terms of electoral votes, yeah, 54 richest in that wise as well. Kamala Harris's birthplace, well, she's the attorney general, senator, and so forth. So no surprise there. The Republicans haven't won that one since 1988. Nevada, Republicans going to get that in its six electoral votes. Idaho, you know, rural state, usually goes red, so four votes there. Republicans have won that one for decades. Montana, four, you know, a small, well, large in area, small in population. Where the population is diffuse, there's lower social trust. There's suspicion of government institutions. Oh, the Beltway is a long way away, or just cities generally. A very white state, quite church-going, gun-owning. Yeah, that's going to be four electoral votes for the Republicans. Utah, likewise, and most of them are Mormons, so Christian fundamentalists. Very strong on family values, which means obviously intolerant of different kinds of families, of single parents, of gay parents, and so on. The six electoral votes is the most Republican state in the United States, like 80% Republican. Surprise, surprise. Wyoming, surprisingly, going Democrat, been Republican for decades. Dick Cheney's former state, the lowest population in the United States. Remember the Laramie Project was there, three electoral votes for the Democrats. Colorado, go for the Democrats. So that was a bit of a battleground state. But the Democrats have had that a few times now. So there it is, you know, not in the West, not too far from the Mexican border. I don't just actually border it. New Mexico, likewise, 5 electoral votes to the Democrats. OK, it's the kind of place where the Democrats win, but not by that much. Arizona, 11 votes for the Republicans. So again, that's a state the Republicans win, but not by a huge amount. Is a pink state. Texas, 40 electoral votes, so the second most populous state, to the Republicans again. But they're not winning by huge margins. Time one was they won by like over 10 percentage points. I think they're going to win by about 4 percentage points. But just because Trump will win that state, that doesn't guarantee that Senator Ted Cruz will be returned. Remember, 6 years ago, he faced a major challenge from Beto O'Rourke, but Senator Cruz narrowly retained his senatorial seat. Oklahoma, so 7 electoral votes there for the Republican Party. So coming on to North Dakota and South Dakota, yeah, 3 votes apiece for the Republicans. Again, they've won it for decades, going back to the 1980s. Nebraska, one of only 2 states which divides it depends how the election goes. It's delegation to the Electoral College. It's not a winner takes all. So I'm saying 4 votes will go to Donald Trump and 1 to Kamala Harris. I'm not quite sure how they calculate it. If he doesn't quite get, if he gets over 80%, does he get all 5 of them? I don't know. Kansas, all 6, well, to the Republicans. Again, a state in the middle of the country, fairly rural state. Minnesota, all 10 votes to the Democrats. So that's one the Democrats don't have very much, but it's Governor Tim Walz's state. Indiana, 11 votes there to the Republicans. Arkansas, 6 to the Republicans. Now, the Democrats haven't won that one since the days of Bill Clinton. Louisiana, all votes, 8 of them to the Republicans. The Democrats haven't won there for 40 years. Mississippi, 6 votes there to the Republicans. Likewise, Republicans have held that one for 4 decades. Alabama, 9 votes to the Republicans, you know, which they've held for over 30 years. Georgia, 16 votes, and this is a very swing state to the Republicans. So the Democrats won that last time by a wafer-thin margin, and that was crucial in delivering the country to Joe Biden. Florida, 30 votes there to Donald Trump. That's where he's registered to vote, his Mar-a-Lago estate, that den of iniquity. It's notorious. So, I mean, it used to be closely contested. Obama won it twice, but looks like Trump will win that one almost comfortably. The only thing is his speaking up for right to life, that endangers him somewhat there. Michigan, 15 votes there. That state goes to the Republicans, and that's a weather vane seat, or state, I should say. But it looks like the Republicans are going to win that one, but not very much, like sort of 1 percentage point. So obviously, a lot of what I'm saying is within the electoral, the margin of error. Remember, when Trump won 3 vital swing states, it was by under 100,000 votes in total, like 30,000 this one, 40,000 that one, 30,000 in the other one. Yeah, this is out of well over 100 million votes cast. So, goodness, it was like about 0.1% of all the votes cast, and that's what made the difference. So Illinois, 19 electoral votes there for the Democrats. Okay, that's where Chicago is, and the Democrats have won that one, you know, going back into the 1980s. Iowa, again, somewhat rural state, 6 electoral votes the Republicans. Kentucky, that will go for the Republicans, and of course the Republicans have won that one since the early 90s, 8 electoral votes there. Tennessee, 11 votes there for the Republicans. It's a very safe Republican state. Remember, hasn't been a blue state since Al Gore was vice president. So North Carolina, 16 votes to the Republicans. And again, this one, which is quite close, with the Republicans have narrowly held on to, the Democrats, I think, are going to fail to retake it. South Carolina is quite reliably Republican, so they'll get those 9 electoral votes there. Virginia, 13 electoral votes there for the Democrats. And again, that's a state which is a bellwether. But I think the Democrats will get this one, but it won't be enough to obviously win the Electoral College. Pennsylvania, that'll go for the Republicans, 19 electoral votes. And that is one of the crucial swing state. It's got more votes than any other swing state, assuming that Florida's not really a swing state this time. Coming on to West Virginia, again, Republicans have won that one for over 40 years, 4 electoral votes there in the poorest state in the Union. So Massachusetts, 11 votes for the Democrats. Again, the Republicans haven't won that one since, I think it's, was it 1984? So Rhode Island, four votes there for the Democrats. They're coming into New England and the Northeast. That's where the Democrats tend to do very well. Connecticut, seven votes there for the Democrats. Likewise, New Jersey, 14 votes for the Democrats. Delaware, a blue state, again, as usual, the state that Joe Biden used to represent when he was in the House of Representatives, three electoral votes for the Democratic Party. Maryland, 10 votes there for Kamala Harris and her running mate, Tim Walz. So Washington, D.C. is not a state, but it does have three electoral votes. Despite its higher population, the Constitution was amended to say they have the same as the smallest congressional delegation of any state. So that's three. New York, that will be 28 votes for the Democrats, and the Republicans haven't won that one since 1984, if I got that right. Vermont, three votes for the Democrats there. New Hampshire, four votes will be for the Democrats there. That's for electoral votes, I should say. Maine also divides its electoral votes, unless it's very decisive, one candidate another. And I'm forecasting three will go to Ms. Harris and one will go to Mr. Trump. Alaska, so all three votes will go to the Republicans, as they have every single time since, was it 1992? Hawaii, the four electoral votes there will go to the Democrats. So overall, I've totted up, that'd be 311 electoral votes for Donald Trump. Obviously, the remainder to Kamala Harris. I'm forecasting Trump will get 48% of the popular vote and 47% for Harris. So it's a deeply dispiriting result. They're both despicable, but he's even worse. There's just no telling what he's going to do. That may well spell doom for Ukraine. He might egg Israel on to even more aggressive action. It might wreck the U.S. economy. It'll damage America's reputation. Even if he were to lose, he's going to claim he won. And because he's got his claim in first, a lot of people are going to fall for that. There could be court battles over months. Will it even be sorted out by the 20th of January? It could be even uglier than last time. 6th of January could look like a picnic. So it's all going to be very, very bad news. So no matter what happens, no matter how blatantly, even if it were to lose, he's going to claim he's won. And they're better prepared than last time. And he doesn't have the restraining influence of someone like Mike Pence last time. J.D. Vance is going to be cheering him on and whispering his ear, yeah, go for it. Well, anyway, nauseating. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.